I'm glad that we were able to find out here at the beginning whose fault it is that the snow did not come. I saw the hands that went up back here, and so I'm glad that we can know so that we can pray that the Lord would forgive you for whatever it was that you were praying for. Actually, I think I know what happened. I've always heard growing up that you could do the snow dance, right? You could do the snow dance, and that was something you and your family could do, and the snow would be coming if you did the snow dance. Well, I found out this week that at some point in time, as I have gotten older, it has been discovered that the snow dance has become a little outdated, and there are some other things, apparently, that you were supposed to be doing in order to bring the snow. Now, I didn't know this. And so I started a little bit late, and I think because of that, it impacted everybody else. And maybe this is something that you were not aware of. You can do this next time, and then maybe the snow will actually happen. Apparently, everyone up above Mont Eagle knew about this and did this, and that's why they have the snow. You were supposed to not only do the snow dance, but you were supposed to wear your pajamas backwards. You are supposed to sleep with a spoon under your pillow and flush ice down the toilet. Now, if you do those three things together with the snow dance, apparently then you get to enjoy snow like my daughter did there just outside of Murfreesboro, where she sent this picture of herself making a snow angel, and she was so happy. She was like, hey, send me pictures to show me what everything looks like back home. And so I did. That was at the same time that she was outside making snow angels, and this is what our front yard looked like, much to the chagrin of our house, and I know yours, and all of the lead up, and everybody that was buying propane, and then what does it end up doing? Well, it rains, right? It just rains, and it's cold, and it's wet, and that's just what we get these days. But I think we figured out the problem. Everybody is not wearing their pajamas backwards. You're not putting the spoon underneath your pillow. You're not flushing ice down the toilet, and apparently you're not doing this snow dance correctly. So if we'll all do that next time, well then, we can all stay at home with everybody who's watching us online right now, and we can all enjoy, right, having a little snow time off. It'll be great. Here's what we're going to do today. I want to tell you about a guy in the Bible that most people have never heard of. In fact, I would almost guarantee you that you have not heard of this guy named Matithiah, or Matithiah, depending on the way that you'd like to pronounce it. His name in Hebrew means gift of Yahweh. And he appears only one time in your Bibles in one verse. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 31. Where it says, Matithiah, one of the Levites, the firstborn of Shalom, the Korahite, was entrusted with making the flat cakes. Now, I'm sure you have that verse underlined in your Bible. And that is something that you have dwelt on before. In fact, maybe you thought about naming your firstborn Matithiah because, well, he was entrusted with making the flat cakes. That is his entire biography. It's the only time he ever shows up in Scripture. So who was he? Well, he was a Levite. He was part of the tribe of God set apart for service in God's house. His father, Shalom, helped guard the temple gates. And Matithiah was given a different but equally important job, baking the flat cakes that were used in the temple offerings. Simply, he was the pancake maker. That's what he did. That was his job. And I know that that might sound small, but it really mattered. I was just seeing who's awake out here, and I know, it might sound small, but it really mattered. Oh, okay, not even the second time. Anyway, look, he had to gather the flour and the oil and the salt as described in Leviticus chapter 2. And the pan that he was going to be using was set apart. It was considered holy for the purpose of making these flat cakes. See, he was not making food for any type of common meal. Once completed, the flat cakes would be taken to the altar, and part of them would then be burned as a memorial, and then the rest would be eaten by the authorized priest. And then the next day, well, Mattathiah would do it all over again, as fresh cakes were brought to the altar daily as a reminder of Israel's covenant relationship with God. You see, his work made worship possible. And every offering required care, purity, and faithfulness. And Mattathiah provided that. This temple pancake baker did not have a glorious job. He was not a prophet. He was not a king or even a priest. He was not someone that spoke to crowds. He was not someone who led armies. He was a man who quietly served. And yet the Holy Spirit saw it fitting to include his name in the Bible for all generations. And I think that tells us something about the way God sees service. The way he sees service within his community. You see, within the community of faith, there are no trivial people. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 12 that every member of the body of Christ is vital. Some serve in visible ways and others just serve quietly behind the scenes. But both kinds of service matter equally to God. And according to the writer of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, God will not forget how hard you worked for him. So I'm thankful for some pancake makers that we have at EB. Men and women who quietly serve so that others can worship. Individuals like Sherilyn Johnson, who's upstairs right now. She's upstairs making sure that all of you who are at home are able to enjoy EB Online. You see, each week Sherilyn comes and she fires up the computer and logs in and makes sure the cameras are all focused where they should be and makes sure that she knows who's going to be on the stage and when and who's going to be talking and are we going to have the kids up here? Is Chris going to stay in one location or be going around? Is there anything going to be thrown out into the crowd this week that we need to make sure we get a hold of? Do we need to mute the service in case there's any music played that we can't legally share online? And all these things, nothing happens unless Sherilyn makes sure that it happens. And you don't sit at home in the warmth and comfort of your living room or there tucked under the covers and enjoy the ability to be able to share in this praise experience if Sherilyn's not making her pancakes each Sunday. I intentionally left her off my notes that she has upstairs so that she would not turn the online service off right now as I was talking about her, but she's not alone up there. Christian Cook is also there beside her. Christian each week shows up, and even though he's just a high school kid, he's here before most everyone else, and Christian is making sure that everything is sounding good and that everything up here that's on the screen is able to be seen and everything is working and that the monitor down front has everything that's needed. And you don't hear anything and you don't see anything here when we come together unless Christian is making his pancakes. And how about Albert Schultz? You know, Albert has made it his mission to keep our campus beautiful no matter the season. Flowers in the spring, making sure everything is mowed during the summer, cleanups in the fall, prunings that take place in the winter. It is hard to find a day when Albert and his gray pickup truck are not driving around the parking lot. And just yesterday, that pickup truck was here on campus as he came up and spread 150 pounds of salt so that we would have access to the building and be able to be here on campus safely today. Speaking of the building, Umberto and Gabriela Ortiz make sure that this building and really our entire campus is clean and presentable. They vacuum, they sweep, they mop floors, they move tables and chairs. They gather trash, they clean bathrooms, they pick up after us and the guests that use this facility throughout the week. And when Gabriella was struggling through cancer treatments last year, her children, Christian and Bianca, pitched in to take up the slack. And theirs is a thankless job that is often taken for granted. You see, we take our coffee cups and we throw those in the trash can normally, not knowing what happens when that trash can becomes full. Oh, somebody will empty it. Somehow, magically, all the trash will disappear, and the next time that we're here, everything will be clean. We get to enjoy bathrooms that we have never been asked to clean because someone will take care of that. Someone will clean up after me. Someone will make sure that the toilet paper is all there and everything flushes right. And well, the someones who take care of those and so many other things are in need of our gratitude for all the pancakes that they make through the week. So too, gratitude should be given to Glenn Stover. For the last few years, Glenn has been responsible for everything from making sure that our baptistry is always filled and cleaned and ready for use, to preparing coffee that so many of you enjoy each Sunday, to handling just various odd jobs around our campus that need attention. Glenn would often be the first person on our campus each Sunday morning, arriving sometimes before 6 a.m. Thanks to Glenn, I have never had to worry if the baptistry would be ready for someone who wanted to be clothed with Christ. And you have never had to worry about going without your morning caffeine. Well, recently, Glenn and his wife Susan have had some pretty serious health problems that have required multiple hospital stays. Because of this, well, Glenn just hasn't been around campus as often as before. And let me tell you, it has not always been easy finding someone to take his place. I mean, after all, who wants to show up here at 6 o'clock in the morning on their day off? That's often the case with pancake makers. You don't notice until there are no pancakes. Well, then all of a sudden people start to ask, well, who's supposed to, and well, who's responsible for, and often we find out that the person that's been doing the job, well, we never gave much thought to them, and actually, to tell you the truth, we never even really knew their name. It's a person that we've never even heard of. We just enjoy the pancakes. We just enjoy the worship. And I think it's just a reminder that the world does not have to know your name for God to use your life. Isn't that a comforting thought? Jesus once gave an unnamed man who was possessed by demons the chance at a new life. Mark tells us in his gospel that Jesus was, well, he was getting into a boat, and when he was getting into that boat, the man whom he had freed from this life of possession comes and begs to go with him. And it makes sense, right? I mean, after Jesus has done this for you, wouldn't you want to go and stay as close to Jesus as you could? You want to be there right beside him. And so he says, I want to go with you. He wants to leave his past circumstances. He wants to leave his past life behind. He wants a fresh start because he wants to be with Jesus. But Jesus tells him, no, I need you to stay here. And I need you just to go home to your family, and I need you to tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. Jesus told him to stay and make pancakes. Stay in the place where he had known demons. Stay in the place where he had been chained. Stay in the place where he had had public humiliation. Stay in the place where he had been abused, where he had experienced loneliness. You stay there, because it is there that God's grace will shine its brightest. And so we're told in Mark chapter 5, the man stayed and then just began visiting the towns in that region and proclaiming the great things that Jesus had done. You know, it can be really easy to compare our kingdom service to others. And we compare and say, well, I don't have a ministry that feeds thousands of kids like, you know, our snack pack ministry that has been here for many years, or You know, I'm not just giving food out left and right to those in need, like our Father's Table ministry. And maybe you don't even know the people that serve sometimes quietly in the background in those ministries. You say, I haven't been able to help in that. And you know, I've never been in prison, at least not as a minister to people. And you say, I've never thought about using ancient weapons to share the gospel like our archery outreach does. You know, we'd like to have some cool outreach and some amazing story of God just doing something in our lives, something that's going to make a difference and something that's going to help us to stand out. God, if you'll just do anything through me, we would love to be on the boat with the other disciples, sailing around and doing really cool things with Jesus. But what? Do you think that your service does not matter? Because maybe you haven't gone to a foreign culture or adopted children or collected socks and shoes for the homeless, then what you're doing doesn't matter? You say, well, you only stay home and make pancakes. But friends, in God's economy, usefulness in the kingdom is measured by the scale of the service, not by the scale of the service, but by the willingness to serve. It's not about the glamour. It's not about the prestige. It's not about how many people know your name or know what you did and when you did it. It's about your willingness to be of service. And that willingness is something that oftentimes is lacking these days. More and more, I run across people who just can't be bothered. Individuals that can't have their schedule adjusted. Individuals who just can't be put out, who can't see past what it is that they're doing right here and right now. Sometimes the most difficult barrier to service is just inconvenience. And we don't like to be inconvenienced. As Chad said earlier, we don't like to have things that interrupt our plans to where we then have to go and do something else. But it's the willingness to serve that is the true measure of usefulness in the kingdom. It's the willingness to be inconvenienced and to get up before 6 a.m. to do the things that nobody else sees, to make the pancakes so that others can enjoy the worship of God. Jesus left the region of the 10 cities that day, but he later returned to the area known as the Decapolis. And this time, a vast crowd, we're told, brought to him people who were lame and blind and crippled and people who could not speak and so many others. And they came and they laid all these people before Jesus and he healed every one of them. And the crowd was amazed, and those who hadn't been able to speak were talking, the crippled were made well, the lame were walking, the blind could see again. And it says that they praised the God of Israel. They worshiped. And I want you to miss this, that a region that was known for its humanistic worldview, whose pagan practice reminded the Jews of the ancient Canaanites, of people who previously had actually begged Jesus to leave and go and get on your boat and go somewhere else, now begged for him to heal, and they praised God because of the good things that he was doing. And you say, well, how did that happen? Well, I believe it was because of the testimony and the power of the unknown person who simply stayed behind and he made pancakes, sharing what Jesus had done. And when Jesus returned, the impact of that pancake baker was seen. And I think the same is true for us. You see, we will not know the full impact of our service to God until the day Jesus returns. And on that day, individuals known and unknown will praise God because you stayed. Because you stayed and shared. Because you got up and baked, because you stayed and served, because you went the extra mile, because you sacrificed, because you served in the name of Jesus. You see, when you serve this congregation, whether by cooking meals or sweeping the floors, whether it's because you're teaching children in our EBK ministry or greeting worshipers on the front steps, maybe you're making the coffee, maybe you're praying, you're making pancakes. You are doing holy work. And when you serve this community by speaking the name of Jesus in your home or on your team at work or in the classroom or on social media, you're making pancakes and you are doing holy work. And what you do or what you say may never make the news. And you may never get invited to be up on a stage like this to talk about the service that you have given or to speak about how you cared for a dying family member or how you provided a home-cooked meal to someone without a home or how you painted walls in a church building or drove someone to the doctor or how you washed dirty clothes or how you just went and played with a friend who was sad. You may never receive recognition for your pancakes, and people may never know your name. But like Matithia, you, my friend, are a gift of Yahweh. And God will not forget how hard you have worked for Him. Can we just stop for a moment and give thanks for all the pancake makers? So, Father, we say thank you. Thank you for those who are often behind the scenes. Those that we don't know their name. And Father, we don't even know the full extent of their service. Because they show up and they do their job or maybe someone else's just because there's a job to do. And they're available because there's a need. And Father, they are present because they care. And because they love. And because they see the way that you are constantly available. And they see the way that you have shown up. They see the way that you have been present in their lives. And so whatever they can do for you, Lord, they say, here I am. And they don't always have to be told. It's amazing, Father, how often individuals just find ways to be of service. They see a need and they meet a need. They pick up someone and they carry him to a dry location. They buy a meal. They pick up medication. They pick up the phone and give a call. They stop by for a visit. Father, there's so many things that are just done because it's the right thing to do. And so today we say thank you for all the Matithias, for all the pancake makers, not just a part of our EB Church family, but for all of those in your kingdom who are willing to be inconvenienced and who are willing just to stay where it is that they are and speak your name. And Father, we know that one day, because of their service, one day they're going to hear someone say, because of you, I was able to worship. Because of you, I heard the name of Jesus. Because of you, I was healed. And Father, on that day, they'll receive the reward. But until then, may they not grow weary in well-doing. And may they continue to show up May they continue to stay. May they continue to serve and be your gift to the people of God. In your name, we say thank you for the servants. And amen. Church, we have some of those pancake makers right now who are in our children's center, and they are looking forward to us ending things in here so that their pancake making can conclude. But we want you to know that there's going to be some other small group studies that you're going to be able to be involved in, and that your kids can continue in and enjoy, and we hope that you'll take advantage of those opportunities. Stephen will let you know kind of what that schedule is and how that's going to look here in just a few minutes. I would just like to encourage you this week to have your eyes and ears open for the pancake makers around you. For those who are a part of this church family, or maybe you know them, to worship with another faith community here in town, but you've seen their service and you know what they do, and why don't you give them a text? Why don't you send them a card? Why don't you do something special for them and say, thank you for your service. I've seen what you do, and so has God, and I just want to give you a little bit, of praise. It's great to be a part of the family of God and to know that we all have our place and that we all have our purpose. I pray that this week that you will be able to live out yours, that you will go and in the space that God has placed you, be able to speak the name of Jesus. You might not get a reward here and now. You might not know what impact you have this week. It might not happen in this life, but one day you will discover the way in which God used you. Until then, church, do not grow weary in well-doing. God sees you, and he will not forget the work that you do for him. So why don't we stand and give God praise together? We want you to know that if you need to talk with someone privately, there'll be one of our elders in our prayer room in our lobby. Maybe you just need to come this morning, and whether it be saying, Lord, church family, I need prayers on my behalf, or I'd like to be baptized into Christ, or maybe you would just like to come and say, you know what? I need to be a better servant. And I would love for this church to be praying that I would be able to be more committed in my service to God. Whatever your need might be, we encourage you to respond. As together we encourage one another in song. Wesley, let's sing.